Well, praise God.
Praise God.
We have another opportunity to come into the house of God. You know, this morning as I drove out my my driveway, I was going out and I was thanking God for, you know, that I was in the land of the living. You know, regardless of how messed up this world is, we still like it, don't we? And you know, every day that we get is a gift, because there are many who didn't make it. Those who went to eternity to be with Jesus, well, they're not missing nothing. They're probably looking out here feeling sorry for us. And those that went the other direction, well, God help them. But you know, it's a blessing, you know, to be alive. Now, when I was younger, I took that sort of stuff for granted. You know, you wake up in the morning, you jump in the shower, you get dressed, you go wherever you want. You don't think about it. But as you get older, you know, you begin to appreciate all the things that you took for granted. And being able to come into the house of God is a blessing. I had have a friend, and when she was in Germany, she told me she had to drive, I think, 2 hours one way to get to a church that gave the word. Imagine 2 hours. We drive 30 minutes, some of us, you know, to get here. That's nothing compared to 2 hours. You know, we're not an underground church. In China and other places, people have to sneak and, you know, all this cloak and dagger stuff just to hear the word. We can come boldly to the house of God and get the word. We don't have to worry about anyone turning us in. Maybe later on it'll happen. I mean, this world is changing so rapidly and everything. But it is a blessing to be in the house of God. And we have a lot to be thankful for here in America. Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, honor, and glory once more, because, Father, you are worthy, Lord, for all the things you have done for us, for all the things that you keep doing for us, Lord, for bailing us out of trouble, you know, for helping us, providing for us, delivering us, sustaining us, leading us, guiding us, oh God, giving us favor. Lord, we have a lot to be thankful for. And we acknowledge that in you we live and move and have our being. Without you, Lord, we're up the creek without a paddle. So thank you, Father, for all that you've done, you're doing for us, for everything that you've done. Thank you for loving us, for giving us your Son, you know, who died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving me utterance to deliver this word. I pray, Lord, that it will be delivered in a manner in which it ought to be delivered, and that those, everyone who hears it will receive it, and Lord, that it will bring forth fruit, you know, that it will cause them to pause and think about you in ways that they have never thought of you before. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, I'm teaching again on prayer. I think I mentioned the last time, you know, I'm beginning to discover how deep the topic of prayer is, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm able to, you know, to keep bringing messages on prayer. The prayer of thanksgiving, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. In a few weeks, you know, we'll be getting ready to celebrate what? Thanksgiving. It's, you know, it's a time set aside nationally when we as a nation we're supposed to give thanks to God, you know. But you know, that's not the only time that we should be thanking God, is it? Once a year, that's pitiful. That's worse than pitiful. Yes. We should be thanking God every single day. Matter of fact, you know, we should be thanking him for every second of every minute, of every hour, every day, of every month, of every year that we live. Because, you know, if I think we sing a song, a chorus that says the breath in our lungs belongs to him, Imagine if God was to withhold that breath. What happened to us? You know, we'll just crumble up there. I mean, there's nothing we can do. You know, if our heart stops beating, we're in deep waters. So we should be thanking God every single moment, every single day. You know, we should be giving God praise, honor, and glory. And not just on one day. You know, and there are times, there are special times when I believe, and I'm sure you guys will agree, that, you know, that we should take time out just to thank, to pray, a prayer of thanksgiving. Instead of constantly asking God to do this for us and to do that, as you know, as I was, you know, thinking about this lesson, I put the finishing touches of it last night, and this morning I woke up and it was just buzzing wrong in my head. You rest of you teachers, you know how it goes. And I was driving, and usually when I drive, I pray, you know, for different stuff. But this morning I decided, you know what, I'm going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving because that's what I'm teaching on. So I should be a doer of what I'm, you know, what I'm saying. And then I began to thank God. You know, we can pray in such a way that our prayer is really a thanksgiving prayer. You know, and if you don't know how to do that, all we have to do is thank God for his word. Father, I thank you that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I thank you that you're always causing me to triumph. Thank you, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that is risen up against me is already condemned and shown to be in the wrong. You know, thank you, Lord, that I'm the head and not the tail. You see where I'm going? Uh-huh. We're praying, but there's like, you know, this is totally off my list. But see, you know, God delights in that sort of prayer. Uh-huh. You know, how many of us like it, you know, when people just call us when they want something? Years ago, we had bought, you know, my husband had bought me this Rainbow vacuum cleaner. I don't know how many of you know about Rainbow. It works with water. And I had a friend. I'm telling you, every time my phone rang and the moment I heard her voice, I know exactly what she wanted. She wanted to borrow that vacuum cleaner. She would never call me any other time. It didn't matter what was going on. You know, in fact, one time I was in an accident up there on Fort Benning. And I mean, I was, you know, I was just frazzled and everything. And she just passed and she saw me there and she just waved and kept going. You know, that thing hurt me so badly, she never stopped to say, you know, are you okay? Nothing. I knew she was on her way to school and she was probably late. But, you know, sometimes we're so much in a hurry that we don't take time, you know, to see about each other. But whenever she wanted that vacuum cleaner, ding, ding, you know, the phone would ring. You know, sometimes that's what we do, God. You know, we only pray when trouble comes knocking. Then all of a sudden we remember God, that he exists, you know? And God is a God of love and mercy and compassion, and he'll help us. But think how much more delightful it'll be to him when we come to him just thanking him, you know, for everything that he has done for us. So let's go look in Luke chapter 7, Luke 17, I'm sorry. Now, this here is the story. I'm going to try to condense it. This here is about the 10 lepers who, you know, came to Jesus requesting healing. And Jesus instructed them to go and show themselves to the priest. And the Bible said that as they went, they were healed. So let's take it up in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, you know, and as often as I've read this, I've never really seen and he was a Samaritan. But last night, you know, suddenly it dawned upon me, why did they have to say that he was a Samaritan? You know, I mean, you know. But, you know, back in those days, Samaritans and the Jews didn't really get along. I really didn't delve into it, but there seems to be some kind of a difference in belief, in their belief system. And so the Jews hated the Samaritans, and they were kind of despised, you know, and everything. But this is the one of the 10 lepers. This is the only one that turned back to thank Jesus. There were 10 of them. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. You know, sometimes strangers are more appreciative of the things, you know, that we do rather than, the, you know, our family, our friends, people that, you know, we mingle with. Sometimes strangers will help us better. You know, they'll be, you remember the story with the Good Samaritan, the priest, everybody passed, and it was one guy that stopped to help, to help the guy that was beaten up. And so Jesus said unto him, verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He wasn't just healed. He was made whole. You know, leprosy is an infectious disease that causes severe disfiguring skin sores and nerve damage in arms, legs, and around the body, and separates those infected from everyone else. In other words, when you're a leper, you can't mix with the rest of the population. You have to be isolated. It's not terrible. Thank God. And do we have leprosy today? Does anyone know? There are. What? Oh my God. Oh, that's a good bit of information. I know someone who eats armadillos. I'll be make sure and text them tonight and tell them they carry leprosy.
Oh. Not all of them have it, but they can carry it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to mess with them anyway. That should curb his appetite for eating. It's supposed to be a delicacy. But, you know, they were outcasts. And whenever they were, they were in the city or, you know, walking about, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. They had to notify others that they were in the vicinity so people can avoid them because it was contagious. So being a leprosy, you know, it was sort of a lonely life. So we can imagine how excited this leper was to be healed. You know, finally, he's not an outcast. He can mingle with everyone else. He can visit his family and his friends. You know, he can go to parties, if they had parties back in those days. You know, he was normal. He was excited, and so he was so excited that he had to turn back. You know, the Bible said that as they went, they were healed. But he turned back. He forgot everything about the priest. He forgot about showing himself to the priest. He was so excited. And I'm quite sure Jesus was not in the exact same place as when he instructed them to go show themselves to the priest, but he found Jesus. You know, when we want to accomplish something, we can accomplish it, don't we? Yeah. You know, so many times we make excuses, you know, for, you know, not being able to come to church or whatever. But when we want something, no mountain is too high, no pit is too deep. You know, we find ways to accomplish what we want. And this leper, he found the way, he found Jesus. And he went, you know, and the Bible says, the word says that he fell down on his face and he glorified God with a loud voice. You know, he didn't just show up and say, oh, Jesus, I just want to thank you for healing me. he was loud, sort of like Bartimaeus. You know, he cried out because he wanted to see. Everybody was telling me, shut up, you know, don't bother the master. But he cried louder. When we want in something, no one is going to be able to shut us up. And so he came with a loud voice, and he glorified God, and he gave praise, and he thanked God for healing him. And as a result, Jesus said, thy faith had made thee whole. In other words, the effects of the leprosy was no longer visible. You know, when people had leprosy, even though they were healed, because of it disfigured them, you know, left holes in their skin, and they probably had fingers missing and, you know, and all this stuff. With him, none of that. He didn't have any of that. He was totally restored because of his thanksgiving. See, there's a benefit in being thankful. He was not ungrateful. And you know what? God loves it when we're thankful. When we take time to reflect on what God has done for us, for our family, for our nation, you know, and we thank him, it opens up more favor for us. It opens up doors for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Not in some things, not when things are just going our way. I know that's difficult, you know, when we're having difficulties and stuff, sometimes it's just hard, you know, to say thanks. I remember there was something that I was going through one time, and somebody was on TV saying, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't see how this could work together for my good. You know, but it's not how we view things, you know, because, you know, we can't see the big picture most of the time. We just see what's in front of us because we're earthy people. So we see what's right in front of us. But God sees the whole picture. You know, in Isaiah, it says that he has already declared the end from the beginning. He knows what the outcome is going to be. And so it's up to us to trust him enough to know that he's going to work this thing out for our good, and don't wait until the thing is worked out, but to thank him before, ahead of time. You know, it's sort of like, if when we pray according to his will, he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petition, you know, that we've requested. So we don't wait to see. It's sort of like calling those things that be not as though they were. You know, we're supposed to thank God as though things have already worked out for us. But, you know, we don't do that. We wait to see the desired outcome. And then we get excited. And then we thank God. This leper, he was so thankful just to be not a leper anymore. Just to be healed. He wasn't thinking about being whole. He thought, this is good enough for me. But God had more for him. Yes. When we give thanksgiving, God has more. Yes. It opens the door for more. Right. Don't you want more?
Yes.
Well, it depends on what it is, isn't it? So, you know, that's a benefit. It's God's will. Giving thanks is God's will. He wants us to give him thanks. And he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And you, and you, and you, and me. That's his will. Thanksgiving is what we should do. The prayer of thanksgiving also grants us access to God's presence. Psalms 100, verse 45, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, when we're thankful, our thanksgiving will destroy Satan's barriers. You know, he's always erecting stumbling blocks, you know, in our way to slow us down. But our Thanksgiving, our praise, you know, Thanksgiving and praise kind of go hand in hand. They're like hand and glove. They fit together. And when we thank God, when we begin to praise Him, you know, it lifts our burdens. It ignites our faith. You know, because when we're going through, you know, we're depressed, we feel weighed down, you know, it sometimes we can't think straight. The desire isn't there, you know, to pray. But when we just forget about our problems, forget, see, that's what we have to do. It's an intentional thing. It's not something that just happens. You know, we have to work. There are times when we have to work to pray. You know, when winter is coming, the place is going to be cold. You know, that blanket is comfort is going to feel pretty snuggly. We don't want to get up. We are going to have to work our way out of that blanket and find, you know, a place to pray, you know. In 1987, I remember I was home, and it seems like I would always oversleep, and I didn't have enough time to pray before I get up, you know, to rush off to the hospital. My mom was in the hospital at the time, and so I had a brilliant idea to ask the Holy Spirit, wake me up at 4 o'clock, please, so I could pray. Well, what do you know? At 4 o'clock, I woke up. And I turned over and I look at my watch, 4 o'clock, and I thought, oh God, let me give me 5 more minutes. Listen, if you don't want the Holy Spirit to wake you up, don't ask, because He will. Uh-huh. He woke me up, that bed felt so comfortable. I mean, I don't know. I bet you there was some demon there just blowing on me. Go to sleep. You know, and I just slept. And the next thing I know, I woke up and it was 6 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I should have gotten up and prayed, you know. But I wasn't intentional enough. You know, we have to crucify the flesh. And we have to be intentional about praying, even when we don't feel like it. When the situation is so dire and everything, you know, it looks really, really really bad. You know, we have to be intentional enough to have enough faith in God to trust Him and begin to praise Him. You know, it's not easy, but it's worth it, because there are benefits. When we press our way through the depression, press our way through the sorrow, press our way through the stress, and take our eyes off of what, you know, what's bothering us, what's weighing us down. Take our eyes, you know, sometimes we just have to ignore those things, you know? Sometimes I don't like a dirty kitchen. I hate to go to bed and leave dishes in the kitchen, you know? So usually I'm always trying to wash the dishes, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning. If I'm working on my lesson and you know, like 12:30, I try to sign up, but those dishes are bothering me. And I go in the kitchen, you know, I'm trying to wash up and wipe down the stove and everything. But then there are times when I just have to ignore it. You know, it's going to be there. It's not going anywhere. Sometimes we have to ignore our problems, ignore all the stuff that's weighing us down, and focus on the person who can do something about it, who can help us, who can show us what to do, give us a solution to our problems. And when we do that, the stress and, you know, the depression and the anxiety and everything that's there trying to keep us out from God's presence, as we begin to thank Him, those things just melt away. And you know, we can go right into God's presence. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? See, this is where we can thank, you know, we can thank, listen to this. Who can bring a charge against us? God has chosen each and every single one of us, hasn't he? Who can bring a charge against God's chosen? That's something to be thankful for. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. That's something to be thankful for. When we mess up, we have someone right there on the right hand of God interceding for us. That's something to be thankful for. You know? Who is the best person to intercede for us? Jesus. He's the best intercessor. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for it I say, for we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors, regardless of whatever trouble we face, regardless of what the enemy throws at us. The Word of God says we are conquerors. We may not look like conquerors. We may not feel like conquerors, but we walk by faith, not by sight. So that's something to be thankful for. You know, and we give God thanks, Lord, and you know, I just thank you that in spite of everything that's going on around me, in spite of the storm that's brewing, and in spite of all the criticism, you know, Lord, I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you for making me a conqueror. See, when we do that, we defeat the devil. He hates it. He doesn't like that. You know, he wants us to mourn and groan. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a lot to be thankful for. Angels are jealous of us. I mean, you know, we sin. Adam and Eve sin. We inherited that sin. We sin all the time. And, you know, once we recognize our sin and we repent and we confess our sin, God forgives us. The angels, they sin one time. What happened to them? They got the boot, didn't they? Satan got the boot. I think he got it twice. But God doesn't give us the boot. He loves us. He's waiting for us to return to him. That is something to be thankful for. When, you know, consider that if the angels are jealous and they're up there in God's presence all the time, you know, they're around his throne and they're jealous of us. That's something to be thankful for. No, we don't think of it like that. Jesus showed us a perfect example of living a life of thanksgiving. He prayed prayers of thanksgiving all the time. I'm just going to give you a few. In John 6, verse 11, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Man, that's some powerful multiplication. Oh my God, imagine 5 loaves and 2 fishes and you feed over 5,000 people. That's amazing. But listen to this. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had what? Given thanks. He gave thanks. He distributed them to the disciples. He prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. And what was the result? Supernatural multiplication. Don't you like supernatural multiplication? I love it. I love the way God multiplies things. He doesn't multiply 2 times 2 is 4 and 10 times 2 is 20. No. His multiplication boggles our imagination. And not only were they able to feed over 5,000 people, the Bible says that they had 12 baskets of leftovers. 12. And I'm assuming it's not those little pretty baskets, you know, that we carry. It's probably those fishermen's baskets, you know. Back in Guyana, the fishermen had huge baskets that they, you know, when they're coming in, that they would carry in their heads on their way to the market. We didn't live too far from the ocean. We lived about 5 minutes walking distance from the ocean. You know, when I was there, I took all that for granted. That was no big deal. Yeah, you know what? The ocean is right there. I've met people in America who has never even seen the ocean. But, you know, my mom, she likes fresh fish. She don't like nothing stale. You know, fish, you know, frozen now. It had to be fresh. And she knew what time they would be coming out. And so she would, you know, she would go out and flag them down. And they would, you know, put their baskets down. And they would sell her a fish, a big fish, you know, or a couple of smaller ones. I mean, sometimes they're still, you know, they're not fresh, you know. And shrimp, oh my God, you know. When I first came to America, I was at my friend's house and one of her daughters went to dinner and she came back and she was telling what she had to eat and she was saying, oh, I had 6 pieces of shrimp. And I was on the side listening, I'm thinking, six pieces of shrimp, big deal. Because I am used to getting a whole bowl back then. I don't know about now, things have changed, right? But back then, you could get a whole big bowl of shrimp for 50 cents. I mean, you can feed a whole family of, let's say, five, a whole week. You know, my mom would be, you know, shelling the shrimp. Seems like it took forever. And I'm not talking about them little chinky thing. I'm talking big thing. You know, but, you know, that's how it was. And these baskets, I'm quite sure, wasn't like the baskets that they had leftovers. And I'm quite sure it wasn't those baskets, you know, that I'm used to seeing. I think I had seen a picture somewhere. They were like this high. Imagine baskets, 12 baskets this high with leftovers. Amazing. I wonder who ate all those fishes. But you see, supernatural multiplication. I'm running out of time. Can I? Lazarus, he had been dead for 4 years. 4 days, sorry. You guys know what I mean. Oh my God. Oh, well. 4 days. Those of you in the internet, 4 days. So slip of the tongue. And, you know, Jesus came and he knew he was going to resurrect him. But what did he do? He prayed. And he didn't just pray, just any prayer. It was a prayer of thanksgiving. He said, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew you hear me always. I said this just for the benefit of those standing by. And then, you know, he shouted, you know, he said that they may believe that you sent me. And then he called Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. Someone, I think it was David Jeremiah that said, it's a good thing he said Lazarus, because if he had just said, come out, all these dead people would have come out. But he specifically spoke to Lazarus and said, come out. And we all know the story, Lazarus came out. But what did he do first? He thanked God. Thank you for hearing me. You know, he knew the importance of, you know, of giving thanks. Prayers of thanksgiving will position us to receive more blessings. We saw it happen with the leper who returned to give thanks. Not only was did he get his healing, but he received wholeness. The other nine, they missed out big time. But can you imagine when he bumped into them some other time, and they're looking him over and said, what happened to you? You know, because he's not the same person. He doesn't have the holes and the missing fingers and nails and all. And they said, and he said, well, Jesus made me whole. I went back and gave him thanks. And can you imagine them, you know, why didn't we think about that? You know, we could have been whole just like you. You know, they missed out. They missed the boat. Both didn't come back either. Because of his gratitude, he was elevated. to another level of healing. Now, when I was a kid, my parents would, you know, they just drummed it into me to always be thankful. You know, when someone gave me something, to be thankful. No matter what it was, even if I didn't like it or even if I had it, be thankful. My mom used to, sometimes when she cooked something that I didn't like, you know, I would cry. Or, you know, I had a dog named Fanny, and I would bring Fanny upstairs. She was such a smart dog. And I would put her under the dining table. And, you know, usually she'd come up and she'd wag her tail and you could hear it on the floor. When I said, shh, she would be as quiet as a mouse. And every time my mom turned, you know, I would spoon the food under the table and Fanny would lick it up. And then when the food was done, I'd say, go on. And then Fanny would down the stairs. You know, usually she'd go. But when I said, go on, Fanny would tip. Don't understand. I'm telling you, she was smart. And on my way to school, I'd pat her, you know, good dog, good dog. But sometimes, when Fanny wasn't there and I didn't know where she was, and I had, you know, this food was in front of me and I didn't know what to do with it because there was no Fanny. And I would cry. And my mother would, you know, she would always say to me, you should be thankful because there were kids in certain parts of the world who didn't have nothing to eat all week. You should be thankful. I hated when she told me that. I did not like it. But you know, she was right. You know, there are things that we complain about. There are others who would exchange places with us, you know, just to have it. And so, you know, the children of Israel, they were not thankful at all. You know, even though they experienced the mighty hand of God against the Egyptians and everything, all they did was moan and groan and complain the whole time. And they got God so upset with them that he said, okay, none of you are going to enter into the promised land. You know, they had this thing, weren't there enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here in the wilderness so we should die? And God said, okay, you will die in the wilderness. See, they spoke it. We should be careful what we say. And he said, your kids whom you said would die, they will enter into the promised land along with Joshua and Caleb, because the Bible said they had a different spirit. We need to have a different spirit. You know, we don't need to have the spirit of grumbling and the spirit of complaining, always seeing the glass half empty. You know, we should strive to see it half full if we can't see it full. You know, we need to have the spirit, you know, like Joshua and Caleb had. And so, you know, none of them, you know, made it in. They all died. But God is, you know, when we thank him, we can come into overflow. We can have supernatural multiplication. We can have wholeness. Instead of just enough, we can have more than enough through our thanksgiving. Our thanksgiving is a powerful thing. Let's all strive to be people of thanksgiving. And I'm
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.